Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm your host, John Ledyard from FanRagSports.com. And the beleaguered Trevor Sikkema is alongside today, not physically, but in spirit, although he is actually on the show, too. And he's beleaguered because he's had... I've seen your TL, though. You're not dead, but I know that you have to be suffering because you've watched a lot of this Bucks All-22 tape, and you've been studying up the Bucks, and I know there's some hard realizations about some Florida players that you're coming to.
That's very true. Vernon Hargreaves is not the player that we thought he was when he was coming out in 2016.
I liked him too, so it's a moment of silence for Vernon.
I was just looking, and that 2016 class for Jason Light, who's the Bucks of the GM, not good.
Who else they have in that? Noah?
Noah Spence.
He's off to a slow start this year. I thought he was good last year. I've barely seen him this year.
He's not the player that everybody thought he was. And then Roberto Aguayo. So.
Oh, gosh. My word. Yeah. That is looking like a potentially fireable class.
Yeah.
Whew, that's awful.
Because Noah Spence might not be anything more than a high-end number two pass rusher on a team.
Which is fine in the second round.
Oh, you know. I mean, like, it's fine in day three-ish as long as you're not...
I don't think you're getting quality number two pass rushers in day three, though, right?
No. I'm totally fine with him being a quality number two pass rusher. Like, and you're taking him on day two. But the problem is that he was touted as his top five pick who dropped because of his character concerns, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, that was the reason why he gets drafted low. Then once the Bucks have him, they treated him like this giant steal that they got, which I guess, you know, like at the time, everybody would have.
He looked like it last year. I haven't seen him this year.
Well, in flashes, kind of, but it all kind of came in spurts. And so now this year they kind of went into the season banking on him and Jacquees Smith being these, like,
Jacquees.
Like 7 to 12 sack guys each, and Jacquees Smith's knee injury was so bad that he got cut from a team that's literally the worst in sack percentage in the NFL. And Noah Spence can't do anything but go to the outside on a spin move and fumble sack Mike Glennon because Mike Glennon's bad. So that's what we're looking at here with the Bucks.
Not better at all, though.
No, it's just like, it, like, things, like, turned so quickly for this Bucks team. It was like there was all this hype and promise and things. And I'm not saying, like, it's totally over with, but Lewis Riddick said yesterday the most disappointing team in the NFL by far is the Bucks, and he's not wrong.
Wow. Harsh words. I mean, but some truth there, yeah, for sure.
Indeed, they
have to take the next step, and it's not just Vernon and Spence, but Jameis and all,
like,
those guys,
coaching and stuff too. So, but hey, you know what wasn't disappointing for, like, the first time in ever?
I don't know, this season maybe, of Thursday Night Football.
Thursday Night Football, man.
It's good. We've often said this, but Thursday Night Football is high quality football. I think that goes almost without saying.
Normally it's high quality trash, actually.
It is complete garbage, typically. Like, as long as I can remember Thursday Night Football existing, which I don't know how many seasons it's been now, it's not been good. Like, there's been a couple here and there, but consistently not good. This year, it's been pretty consistently good. Like, last night's game, one of the best football games I've seen in a long time. Philadelphia and Carolina was a terrific game. Week before, New England-Tampa Bay wasn't the best played game, but it was a close game. Green Bay throttled Chicago weeks before that. But then go back to that Rams 49ers game. Who would have thought Rams 49ers? That's one of the best games of the year so far. That
41-39
game.
That was the one that kicked it off.
That was amazing.
Dude, Sean McVay, not only turning Jared Goff into an actual football player, but he also helped revive the Thursday Night Football movement. We got to, like... We got to get this guy a trophy or something.
Sean McVay should be coach of the year just for that. He might win it anyway, but we had the Chiefs in New England to open the season. That was technically Thursday Night Football, though it was the season opener, so it doesn't feel like the rest of them. But and then we had Deshaun Watson's coming out party. I mean, he didn't play well particularly, but
that game was trash.
That game was a bad football game, but you got to see our son do some nice things. So, I mean, it was good in that regard. But last night's game, holy crap, dude. Like, it just felt like the Chiefs were going to win the whole game. Even when Oakland was scoring, I was like, eh. That, like, Carr didn't really look right. And, I mean, he was, like, off and on. And Cooper was still dropping the ball. And they were still making mistakes. And I know Chiefs fans are all up in arms about the officials. But if the Raiders had lost, the Raiders would be the ones all up in arms about officials. Because the officiating was horrendous on both sides. I don't think either side can blame the officials. Just thought it was bad all the way around. But the actual game on the field was a blast. I mean, there was a bunch of, I think, just talent, some of the best players in the NFL just playing at a really high level, and
yeah,
it was just fun. It was a fun football game, and then the way it came down to at the end with all the
Marshawn Lynch going full Marshawn Lynch.
Oh my goodness!
Coming off the bench, getting into it with a ref. You know what's funny is I watched that play. I missed it when it happened live. And I came back to my seat, and, you know, Marshawn's not there, and I'm looking on Twitter, and I see what happened and everything. And I see him sprint from the bench to go defend Derek Carr, which, that's awesome. that's amazing. So he gets into the scrum, and then obviously the ref is to his right, and he's got a football helmet on. So he can't exactly tell who is to his right in a scrum, you know? Mm. So gets bumped. Just puts his hands on the ref, bumps him a little bit, and
gripped
then people,
him up. He gripped him up something fierce.
People are like, yeah, but once Marshawn realized that it was a ref, he kind of let up. Nah. And I agree, he let up for like 1 second, but then there was a Chiefs player. If you watch the whole thing, there was a Chiefs player behind the ref, and as Marshawn was probably looking at the ref and saying, like, oh, my bad, sir, my bad, the Chiefs player probably yelled something at him, and you can see Marshawn almost, like, grip and rip like a defensive tackle the ref to his side to go at the Chiefs player again, and that's when the ref was like, hold on here, and threw the flag.
It was a great push-pull move. I think any edge pass rusher would be proud.
It was, and then he changed into street clothes and watched the game from the stands.
I don't even understand.
Did you see that?
I did see it, yeah.
And then, after the game, him and Marcus Peters, who are best friends.
They're cousins.
When I learned that last night, that they were, like, best friends and related, like, I was like, everything makes sense, and I love it so much. They were riding the public transportation to wherever they were going, and giving each other the dual middle fingers as the rest of the crowd chanted something not kind about the Chiefs.
Oh, my.
It had everything.
You can't make this stuff up. It did. It had everything. Yeah. It had so much, I even forgot about the whole altercation thing there, which I'm not really sure why. Well, I get why the Raiders offensive line responded, but I didn't think Peters hit Carr early, and he didn't hit him in the head, and Carr was still up. I don't really understand why Peters was penalized, but such is the way that it goes. Before we move to the MyBookie lines and giving people our predictions for how the games will shake out this weekend in the NFL, like we do every Fan Friday, stepping away from a little more draft focus and just kind of giving you some fun on a Friday, I had to notify you of these two things in reference to our conversation about Alabama-Tennessee and the way that game will shake out. Not sure if you saw this, but Nick Saban yesterday was asked if it had been a good week of practice. He said, I'd rather not comment on it. Got him straightened out today, though. And then he said, also on practice, every now and then it's good to create tension. I like to create tension. I created tension today. Tennessee might die, dude. They might carry out an execution order on this institution.
College, man, Nick Saban has competed at the highest level, like for championships, for so long that he understands that these weeks where Tennessee comes in and they're a 35-point dog and your team basically just gets to do whatever they want at practice because it doesn't matter because they're going to kick the crap out of them. He wants his players to play like that's the SEC championship game.
Right.
But like that's why Alabama is where they are. It's because they have a coach that will literally like make their guys like run 80 suicides if they think that they're going to beat Tennessee more than they should.
Yeah.
It's
going to be biblical. I can't wait.
Biblical.
It is. It's gonna be freaking Just a straight massacre, straight from the Old Testament.
Best phrase I've ever heard.
You've never heard anyone say that.
It's going to be biblical because the Old Testament is just so wrathish, man.
That's right.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Wipe them out, baby. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It is incredibly easy to buy tickets and sell tickets by using their app. It's both well-designed, but also saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats to fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, our listeners get $20 off our first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONFL today. That's promo code LONFL for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Will there be any biblical results in the NFL? That's the question, my friend, and we need to look at the mybookie.ag lines to be able to tell the people how they should spend their hard-earned cash this week.
All right, let's do it. Sunday at 1 o'clock, the Tennessee Titans travel to the land, Cleveland. Cleveland is getting 5.5. What do you think? DeShone Kizer now the bona fide starter again. So,
who is it? You said Tennessee?
The Titans. Yeah, Titans at the Browns. Browns are getting 5 points, so the Titans are favored by 5.
Yeah, Titans are gonna do some work. Give me. I think Titans are gonna win by like 9 points.
Browns get their first win this week. I'm taking.
Oh wow, that would be disappointing for Tennessee.
Jacksonville Jaguars at the Indianapolis Colts. The Jaguars are favored by 3, even though they're the road team.
Man, the Colts suck.
Logically, you'd think like Jacksonville, like, right? I mean, they're just clearly the more talented team.
Yes, and the Colts can't stop anyone on defense.
But Blake Bortles.
Yeah, he sucks. Neither of these teams are for real, but I'm not sure anybody in the AFC South is, and
I'm going to go Colts.
Yeah, give me the Colts, too.
Even Colts though it pains me because this should be an obvious Jaguars game.
Have you watched Jacoby Brissett at all?
I watched Gator great Jacoby Brissett when he was in Florida, sir.
In the NFL, I mean, this season.
Yeah, I have.
I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh, but I feel like people rave about him every time he's out there, and I'm just watching, and I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, I don't see it at all with him. I know that he makes a great throw every now and again.
If you're on a team like the Colts, right, you just want a guy to give you some kind of a thrower's chance.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're legitimately, I've seen people say the Colts should think about trying to trade Andrew Luck and keep Brissett. Like, I have no words.
Well, they should.
Former Gator great.
Cincinnati at the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers are favored by 5.5, since he's getting 5.5.
I think the Steelers are going to win, but I think it's going to be very close, so give me Cincy.
Okay, all right. I'll agree with you there. Take Cincy. Baltimore Ravens at the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings are favored by 5.5 again. What's the heck? 5.5. Jeez, man.
The Ravens are so hard to figure out. They like should have been blown out by the Bears, and they got like a kickoff return touchdown where their guy like got taken out by his own guy, the return guy. Did you see that? He got like destroyed by his own player, and so everybody in the Bears thought somebody tackled him for the Bears, and then he got up and ran for a touchdown. So that's the only reason they were in that game, because of that, and they had a punt return touchdown in that game too. So, you know, how these things can't be sustainable.
But I'm going with Case Keenum, the GOAT.
Yeah. Give me Minnesota. They're playing pretty well right now. This is a game Minnesota really needs to win. Like, they need to establish some distance. Don't don't drift around in no man's land. You know, you're 4-2. The Ravens are bad. I don't care whether they're 3-3 or not. They're a terrible football team. You know, don't drift around. If Rodgers makes another quicker recovery than people expect, like he did last time, he broke his collarbone, and then all of a sudden you're in a dogfight still if the Packers win a couple games. Vikings need to take care of business, win this division, potentially get a high seed. The rest of the NFC is kind of beating the pulp out of each other, and so they need to really step up, I think. With they're starting to get a little healthier. You're getting Bridgewater back in action. I think this is a big game for Minnesota.
I agree with you there. Minnesota is a pretty good team. Your New York Jets.
Oh my gosh.
The Miami Dolphins down in Miami. Miami is favored by 3 after their, I don't even know what you call it, comeback against the Atlanta Falcons last week.
I hate the Jets more than I felt like I – like, I thought going in the year, I just kind of felt sorry for the Jets. Like, they're a miserable football team. Todd Bowles was going to get fired, but at the same time, he probably should have just been fired before the year because no one could win with this group. And now they're somehow 3-3, and it's just because they've – I mean, they just not played that great to schedule, but how can you rip them for the schedule when they're terrible? So, you know what I mean? It's just
– well, they're going to be 4-3 after this week. I think it's Jets.
No, Miami's going to win. Miami's going to win. I know the Jets won last time. They almost shut Miami out, but Miami was slumping. They're starting to come out of it a little bit. This would be very Miami to lose this game, though, after beating the Titans and the Falcons.
That's what I'm saying. This would be very Miami. Tampa Bay Bucks at Buffalo Bills. Obviously no line in this game because nobody has any idea whether Winston's going to play or not. Let's just go Winston plays. Who wins?
When will we know?
You are either going to know today if they rule him out or Sunday an hour and a half before kickoff.
Give me the Bucks. What's the line on this one?
There's no line because there's
no that's right, yeah. Yeah, give me the Bucks. Bucks are gonna win.
With or without Winston?
Yeah. Let's go that way. Fitzpatrick revenge game.
All right, I'm about it.
Actually, it shouldn't be a revenge game. The Bills paid him mucho money, so
yeah.
If anything, it should be the Bills' revenge game. But
do you think every concession stand at the Bills Stadium just serves buffalo wings?
What? Absolutely not.
And do you think there are any Buffalo Wild Wings in Buffalo, or is that insulting? Because That's like a chain wing place, you know what I'm saying? So like if I'm going to Buffalo to get Buffalo wings, I'm not going to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Well, is Buffalo known for their buffalo sauce, or are they just called the Buffalo Bills?
I mean, I assume that's why the city is named what it is.
You think it was named after the sauce, or the sauce was named after, I don't know what the sauce would have been named. I'm looking it up. Go ahead. Go to the next line. Origins of buffalo sauce.
All right. If it doesn't come from Buffalo, New York, then I'm going to be extremely disappointed. Carolina Panthers at the Chicago Bears. Carolina is favored by 3, even though they're the road team. So the Bears are getting 3 at home.
Carolina's favored by 3, you said?
The Bears are getting 3 points at home, yeah.
Yeah, Carolina's going to win. I'm taking Carolina. Carolina's going to win. It's not going to be that close.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that close. They're going to... The Bears can't do anything on. I don't know how they even beat the Ravens. Like, they can't. Their offense is.
They almost beat the Falcons.
I know, dude. I don't understand anything about the Bears season because I watched them. And I'm like, oh my word, this team is. They beat the Steelers. I don't know. I mean, they're painful.
Mike Renner reminds us that of all the time on Twitter.
I know, freaking. by the way, the Buffalo Wing was invented in 1964 at Anchor Bar in Buffalo, New York, by Teresa Bellissimo.
Okay, and that's when they renamed the city Buffalo.
Yes. Wait, renamed?
Yeah, because of the sauce.
They renamed it? Wasn't it just named that?
No, it was named something else.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing anything about that. It was Buffalo
it was named like...
garlic Parmesan?
All right.
Okay. We're moving on.
New Orleans Saints at the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay is getting 4 points even though they're at home. Sheesh.
Can't you just see, like, the Saints are 3-2. They've got the semblings of a defense.
Falling out yet again as a backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
Wait, where's the yet again come in?
Matt Flynn, the GOAT.
Oh, I thought you were saying Brett Hundley would ball out yet again, and I was like, I don't remember him ever balling out, but yeah, Matt Flynn. I could just see the Saints like being in this, like they haven't had a winning record, and what they had, now they're 3-2 and they just get back to a winning record, and I could see them just blowing it. Like, prime opportunity, catch the Packers without Aaron Rodgers, show that defense is for real, just destroy Hundley, they don't have a great running game, you know, shut it all down, get yourself to 4-2, get yourself right in the thick of the playoff race with all these other injuries happening to other teams. For once, it isn't happening to the Saints. You've got Chicago the next week. You've got the lowly Tampa Bay Bucks the next week. You've got the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Wings in week 10. I mean, I feel like the schedule set up nicely for them, but I think the Saints blow it. I think the Packers win this football game.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm taking the Packers.
I did not expect you to be with me on that one.
No, I'm taking the points.
That's bold.
Cardinals at the Los Angeles Rams, and the Rams are favored by 3.5 at home. So Arizona, the road team, is getting 3.5 points.
This is going to be a very good game, I think.
I think so too.
It's probably the one I'm going to be focused on the most during the 1 o'clock games.
I'm going to take the Rams. Even though they're giving up points,
the Rams seem pretty for real. Like, I'm hesitant to believe, but...
And I've got to just think that the Bucs are bad, so...
Rams don't really have the easiest schedule either. They have the Giants at the Giants next, and the Giants aren't good, obviously, but they're probably the best. I mean, they're not truly a 1-5 team. They lost a bunch of close games. Houston, they've been resurgent. Then at Minnesota, New Orleans, at Arizona, Philadelphia, best record in the NFL right now, at Seattle, at Tennessee, and then San Francisco to close out the season. It's going to be really tough sledding for the Rams. If they get to the playoffs, or if they get to 10-6, McVay should be head coach. He should be head coach of the year, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Give me the Rams. I want to believe. The Rams are my new Rams are my new number two team, man. I'm going all in on them.
All right. My number two team is the place that invented the Buffalo Wings.
Oh, is that your team?
No, but I do love Tyrod. Shout out. Dallas Cowboys at the San Francisco 49ers. Cowboys favored by 6 as the road team.
Cowboys are getting it done. They're 2-3. Yep. That won't stand in Dallas. They're going to come out balling off the bye week.
Agreed. Seattle at the New York Giants, who you are playing wide receiver for, as am I.
Oh, and I should prepare.
Yeah. Seattle's getting 4.5 on the road.
See, here's the thing.
This is a game that, like, any other team other than the Seahawks would, like, it'd be a guaranteed, oh, yeah, they're going to beat the Giants.
Right. Like, especially Giants but coming off a win. Any other, like, decent team in the NFL, I feel like, would be like, but the Seahawks are so freaking weird, man. They're so weird.
I have to take the Seahawks. I have to.
I am taking the Seahawks, yeah, and I think that they'll win by, like, 6.
Broncos at Chargers. It's a pick'em game. Okay, what? All right.
Broncos, Chargers?
Pick the winner. I mean, Broncos. Broncos are going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
How is it a pick'em game?
Because the Chargers should be like 4-2 or 5-1. But I just think the curse is real. It's like if you think the Chargers have played better than the Broncos this year, in my opinion.
Which curse? What's the curse?
The curse with the Chargers?
Yeah.
All the one-score games that they lose. Which is statistically proven to be at least over
so
the
who's
course
cursed?
Of the Chargers are.
No, but like who's cursed?
Like which individuals?
Yeah, like who is cursed there that brings the curse upon Chargers?
Oh, it's just the organization. It's just a curse on the Chargers organization. Yeah, it's not
even
like any one player.
They got to like change their name?
It didn't help. We were wondering if it would help, but we saw at the beginning of the year that Young Shu, whatever his name is, the kicker missed two field goals to start off the season. And that could have won them games. They should have been 2-0. They were 0-2. They started off the season 0-4 in large part because they didn't have a kicker who could make simple game-winning field goals. It's the only reason they lost to Miami and Denver.
Shout out Tampa Bay. The Sunday night football game is the rematch the Falcons versus the Patriots. Patriots are home. They're getting 3 points.
This is going to be a very fun football game.
Dude, Atlanta. I'm sorry. Atlanta is getting 3 points because the Patriots are favored by three. I'm taking Atlanta all day getting 3 points.
Atlanta needs this W, don't they?
All day I'm taking Atlanta getting 3 points.
You think Atlanta's going to win?
Yes. Yes. Patriots are not good.
But Atlanta just lost to, what, Buffalo and Miami?
Just going to say it again. The Patriots are not good.
But Atlanta just lost to Buffalo and Miami, right?
Look, Buffalo, it was so innovative that they invented the Buffalo wing, okay?
Here.
So, as you can see, this episode of Locked On NFL Draft Podcast is sponsored by Buffalo.
Just Buffalo. Nearly extinct animal.
Yeah, the animal, the sauce, whatever you want to call it. All right, I'm taking Atlanta.
I think Atlanta's going to win. They need to get a win.
And Tom Brady wins this game. What? Madden needs to just put him on the cover every year.
Why? Atlanta's not even that great. Nobody's that great. No win really.
Atlanta is like top to bottom the most talented team in the NFL.
No. Get out of here. The Steelers are, and they still aren't very good.
Yikes.
No, Atlanta's offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian's, had some issues early on. That'll be what holds him back if Atlanta wins. But I do agree with you. Atlanta, if they play fully to potential on offense, that Patriots defense ain't ready for it. Patriots defense ranked exactly 32nd in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
That's bad. But the Patriots also have the top-ranked offense and top-ranked passing attack. So
I wonder why.
4-2. Yeah.
All right. So did you pick Atlanta? Yeah. Did you pick the Patriots?
Yeah, I'm picking Atlanta. Atlanta.
All right, Washington Redskins. Wow, this is going to be a really good game. Monday Night Football. Washington Redskins, Philadelphia Eagles. It's in Philly, so they're favored by 4.5. So Washington's getting 4.5 this game. Here's the thing.
All these games are good because there's so much parity in the NFL this year. Like, it's so much fun.
I can't even pick this game.
There's no clearly dominant team, and even teams we thought would suck, like the Jets and the Jaguars and who else? Even like the 49ers and like Colts, they're giving people games. Like the Colts are out there with the Titans battling and the Seahawks battling in the first half anyway, and then they got blown out. But, you know, like nobody's just getting – even these teams that are winless are in tight games. Like the Giants lost like three tight games. You know, they were in all of them. You know, it's just competitive. Like if the Giants – you know, the Giants go out and beat the Broncos. You know what I mean? Like that stuff can happen this year. A winless team beating a team with a winning record. Like there's just like – it's just really – it's close this year in the league. And – I think it's awesome. It's a ton of fun. It's made every game exciting. What did you say the line was on this game?
The Washington Redskins are getting 4.5 points. I don't think either of these teams are going to win by more than 4.5. So I guess in that sense, I'm going to take Washington in the points because I think this is just going to be a really good game.
Mm-hmm. I think that the Eagles are going to win by... No, I think Washington's going to win.
Okay.
Washington's going to win. Yep.
So we're both taking Washington.
Yes. Yes. Right. Washington's going to win. I don't know why or how, but Eagles at 6-1 just would. I mean, no, I picked the Eagles to make the playoffs, but 6-1 would still be pretty surprising to me, I think. I don't think I would anticipate seeing that coming. So.
Well, that's all we got. That's all she wrote.
There you go. There's your MyBookie lines for the day, folks, for the weekend. Make sure you check out MyBookie.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate your offer there and just. Check out the lines that they have, and if you're looking to lay down some money this weekend, probably do the opposite of everything Trevor and I suggested, and you should be just fine. Until next time, enjoy the games this weekend, both college football and the NFL. We'll be back on Monday. We'll talk you through both, and we'll get you caught up on all the action as we always do. Keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.